Romans chapter 8, from verse 14 to 17. I'm really reading from verse 12 to verse 17. It's all one continuous argument, but I did break off in the previous discourse at the end of verse 13. And let me read the whole section. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit of God, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship or adoption, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself witnesses, testifies. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The point is that this is not an isolated paragraph. It is not even in a chapter, as it were, isolated. The argument does not run from chapter 8, verse 1. It runs from chapter 3, verse 21. It runs from chapter 1 itself. This is the gospel. And we must not forget all the things that we have been taught by the apostle in all the verses and paragraphs that have preceded this. I say that because you could misread verse 13. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. People could misread that and think, if I do good works, then I will be a Christian. But Paul is not saying that. It's not you doing good works anyway. It's by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. But he's writing to believers. He's writing to those who are already past chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. They've already come through chapters 7, 6, 5, 4, and 3. They've already got faith in Christ. They're already justified. He's writing to brothers, verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. This is not a word for unbelievers. Now, you do your best, and you will be a Christian. Not at all. Writing to those who have the Spirit, those who are in Christ, we have an obligation to live to Christ and by the Spirit. And, of course, we show our spiritual life by our actions. We show to others. Where have we reached? Flesh and spirit, says Paul. All men, women, boys and girls, are either flesh or spirit. They're in Adam or they're in Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, said Christ. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And as a consequence, those who are in Adam are still in bondage, law, sin, death, condemnation. Those who are in Christ are justified, righteous, free, under grace, have hope and life, and so on. Therefore, brothers, we have the Spirit. And now Paul takes these brothers and sisters, takes the believers, and, as it were, climbs further up Mount Everest. Here we're no longer under law, sin, death, bondage, curse. We're in Christ now, and we're in the Spirit now, And the Spirit's in us now, and Christ is in us. We have hope and glory. Verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's another rise. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or adoption. Believer, you're not only in Christ, under grace, free from law, sin, and death. You are a son of God. You are an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Christ, he will go on to say. You are adopted into the family of God. You don't have a spirit or to fear. You're not a slave again to fear. How this smites down Calvin's view, which so many preach and hold and teach. What is that? Well, you come under Christ, yes. That's all grace. Then you go back under the law. And the law is a whip to drive you to sanctification. The Spirit here is writing through Paul something absolutely opposite to that. Let me say it again, verse 15. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, adoption. If ever a text destroyed Calvin's use of the law here, this one does here. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father, personal, intimate, confident association with God. God is my Father. This is the life of the man in the Spirit. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Here's the assurance. He whispers to us. He seals us. He marks us. He testifies to us. He bears witness within us. Witness to what? That we are a child of God. How does he do that? Christ says he will take the things that belong to me. And he will glorify me, and he will show them to you, these things. And he will lead you to me, he will take you to me, he will bring you to me. He will glorify me in your eyes, in your heart, in your mind. I've written more fully on this in my book, Assurance in the New Covenant. And if you want to see what I believe on this in a full way, these are only thoughts on Romans. Assurance in the New Covenant. I ask you to read that. Here it is. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We're now sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And we will share in his glory. Surely the apostle has reached the top of Mount Everest now. No. He is further yet to climb. He could have left his letter here. He could have closed this chapter here. Glory. Glory with Christ. Heirs together with Christ. Adopted sons. No fear. No bondage. No slavery. No law. The law of Christ, of course. The law of the Spirit of life. Oh, yes. We're under the law to Christ. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us, but not in this slavish, fearing, doubting, questioning way. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He is all in all. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, Paul has told us, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. No, we have an obligation to live out this life of confidence and joy and assurance and hope. Oh, brother and sister, you realize what you are and what you have in Christ, what you've become in Christ. Think how far you've come. You started off way back in the first chapter, where? In bondage, death, sin, condemnation, suppressing the knowledge of God, acting hypocritically, refusing his offer of mercy, turning away from God, worshipping the created thing rather than the Creator, and all the rest of it. And where have you come? How far have you come? You come through Christ. You come to faith in Christ. You come to peace with God, to no condemnation, freedom from sin, death, and law. You have the Spirit. You're an heir of God, joint heir with Christ, glory to come. You're assured and confident in Christ. You have all this. And this is for every believer, not just for a few special believers. This is yours What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits for me? I will speak of him. I will sing of him. I will testify for him. I will lift him up, and I will rejoice in him and walk in him and delight in him. Are you listening, believer, to the Spirit? Or are you listening to these law teachers telling you, no, you've got to go under this law again and be in bondage. You can't be assured. You've got to keep looking at your works. Where's all that here? Keep looking to Christ. Keep thinking of what you are in Christ. Dwell in Christ. Live for Christ. Not living for the flesh. Showing by your life that you belong to Christ. Testifying to others. Taking every opportunity to point men to Christ. Let me do it now. Unbeliever, I have not been able to set out the glories of Christ and the wonders of salvation as I would wish. If only you knew what joys, what fullness, what wealth, what riches, what immensity there is in Christ. If only you knew. I was going to say you could not stay away from him, but the bondage of sin is such that even all the glories of Christ revealed to you, you would still go away, as they did in John 6. It takes the Spirit of God to enable a man to say, to whom can we go? Shall we go? Thou hast the words. You have the life, the words of eternal life, and you are life itself. I feel so sad to think that some of you listening to me now, even though I've tried to say what glories there are in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, the removal of all fear, the giving all assurance, the hope and help of the Spirit, the rejoicing in God, the glory to come. Even though I set all this forth and make it as clear as I can, some of you will still say, no, I'd rather go back to the bondage of Muhammad and my rituals and my washings and my fears and my doubts. I'd rather go back to that. Some of you would rather go back to Hinduism and Buddhism. Some of you will still say, no, I'd rather go back to the bondage of priestcraft in Rome. Some of you will say, no, I still prefer the bondage of the Seventh-day Adventists or the law or the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever it might be. And I can hear some of you saying, no, I still prefer the rational thinking of these philosophers and atheists. Some of you would say, no, I still prefer nothing. Deadness. Emptiness. Darkness. Ignorance. And what have I offered to you? Christ. The life in the Spirit of God. Life by Christ. Life by the Spirit. Everlasting joy. Everlasting peace. Everlasting hope. Freedom, testimony of the Spirit, assurance. There's a hymn we sing. What more can he say than to you he hath said? How more wonderful can we see is the gospel? What greater wonders could God give? What greater riches could Christ offer? And yet men still prefer the bondage of sin and Satan, darkness and death. I come to you again, preacher. Please, please, please preach Christ, life in the Spirit, rejoicing in God. Don't preach law, preach gospel. And believer, dwell upon this. You're not flesh. You're still in the mortal body, yes. But you're not flesh. You're spirit. You have the Spirit. You are in Christ. And all these privileges, joys, and honors are yours. And glory is yet to come. Glory is yet to come.